Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, I want to read verses 21 through 26. So Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. The Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for just allowing us to be together tonight, Lord. Thank you for the day that you've brought us through. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, Father, just the warmth. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Father, that you would warm our hearts with the word of God, that you would speak to our hearts. Our hearts would be guided. Father, we ask that you would establish our thoughts. Father, you said we would commit our way unto you, that you would establish our thoughts. And Father, we commit this hour to you. Father, we want to hear from you. We want to be guided by you. We want to learn from you. And I pray, Father, you would teach us tonight. And Father, I know the Holy Spirit's been given as the comforter, the guide, the teacher. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit would guide us according to your will. Teach us what we need to learn tonight. And Father, encourage us and help us, Lord, just to be focused on you. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, very familiar with the book of Lamentations, obviously written by the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And here in these familiar verses that I read that we'll go through, Jeremiah speaks these words after talking about, you go back and read the rest of this chapter, previous verses, he's talking to the Lord just about how the Lord has dealt with his people because of their backslidden state, because of their sin. And you get to verse 21, and Jeremiah is reminding himself of the goodness of God, and the greatness of God, the forgiveness of God, the compassion of God, and the mercy of God. Because as Jeremiah, he's in the same predicament as God's people who have gone into captivity because they have rebelled against God. And yet God raised up Jeremiah to preach repentance to his people. And yet Jeremiah would get thrown into a dungeon. He'd get thrown into prison. Nobody would listen to him. And yet he finds himself in these verses reminding himself again of the goodness, the compassion, and the mercy of God. And as we go through our lifetime, there are times where we have to remind ourselves of the mercy of God and of the compassion of God and of the goodness of God, so that as we see society and we see our country and world really falling apart more and more and just getting more wicked, it can be depressing. It can, you know, take a toll on you. But when you remember, again, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God, it reminds us of who our hope is in. So I want to go through these verses tonight, just kind of break them down. And in verse 21, Jeremiah starts off by saying, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Therefore, he recalls this to his mind. He's reminding himself of the goodness of God. Think about this, I recall in my mind. Basically, he's reviving in his memory. He's causing himself to remember what he's going to say in the next preceding verses and the verses coming after this. But to remind ourselves of just what it means to that word revive, to revive to memory, you know, he recalls to his mind this goodness of the Lord. It means to recomfort, that recall, recalling to mind, reviving. You know, what you know is true in your heart and mind about the Lord. It's recomforting yourself about the goodness of God. It's to quicken, it's to refresh with joy our hope. And he says, "This I recall to my mind." And I want to go back before I read any further. I want to go back because I want us to really see the state of mind that Jeremiah is in, and then he recalls to his mind. Now go back to verse 1, because we got plenty of time. Go back to verse 1. Jeremiah, as he writes this, says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He had led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. This is the way that Jeremiah feels. Though he's the prophet of God, yet because there seems to be no repentance with God's people, people are against him, he's being thrown into prison, in the dungeon, being afflicted himself. In verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath made he made old, he hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Then he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And we can obviously have hope in the Lord. And again, sometimes we have to recall to our mind our hope is in the Lord, regardless of what's going on in life, regardless of what's going on in society, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad your day gets, your week may be, family squabbles, co-workers against you, whatever it may be, that the devil wants to use to wear us down and to cause us to faint in our faith and to lose hope, we have to recall to our mind that we're on the winning side, that God is good to his people, and that God always turns evil around for good for his people, as he did in the life of Joseph and others as well, turning things around for good for his purpose and for his glory. But when you think about, again, what he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And his hope, obviously, we look at verse 22, it's in the Lord. He says, it is of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Somebody once said, God is a God of compassion, therefore, he is a God of mercy. And how true that is. God is a God of mercy, and he's a God of compassion. And we have the compassion of the Lord towards us, and we have his mercy towards us. But this is one thing that Jeremiah recalls to his mind, is that God is faithful in his mercifulness, and he's faithful in his compassion. I want you to look at a couple of verses with me. Go to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. So Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. Thinking about just God's mercy and his compassions. And we're thankful that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. And obviously, we are his children. And again, sometimes that's what we have to remind ourselves of, because whether you have ever felt at your wit's end in your Christian walk, whether you have felt your faith kind of wavering or even becoming weak, there are many Christians who do struggle and have struggled. And there'll be days where, you know what, the tempter, the devil, will try to get us to lose hope. But God's obviously given us of the Holy Spirit to remind us. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us remember the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God. They know what God has not brought us, as the Israelites thought. God's not brought us into this place to kill us, but to show himself great and mighty. In Psalm chapter 103, look at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We know God, again, that God pities us. He has mercy. He remembers our frame is but dust. Look at verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And again, as the psalmist writes that, he did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon their life. In many cases, you go back and you see just in the life of Samuel and David and others where the Holy Spirit would come upon them to do great things and to give them victory. But praise the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us who never leaves. Now, the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson at different times and give Samson that awesome strength so he could, you know, be the judge over Israel. And I mean, he would kill thousands of Philistines. I mean, he would carry off the gates of the city, all these great things that we read about and children are taught in Sunday school. But when the Holy Spirit wasn't on him, he didn't have any strength. But you and I have the power of God and have the strength of God in us because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Again, as Jeremiah says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. He remembers our frame. He knows how much we can handle. He knows exactly what he's doing when he allows pressure in our life. Again, as God's people, he does allow pressure in our life to strengthen our faith, to squeeze out or to purge out sin, to help us grow stronger in our faith and to have a greater hope in the Lord and to learn lessons in life to draw us closer to him. And God remembers our weakness and our frailty at times. But, you know, even though sometimes, you know, we as people won't admit what our weaknesses are and where we're kind of lacking in strength, God knows. And God works in those areas, and God wants to strengthen those areas, but God will never crush us, I'll say. God will never give us more than we can handle. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah. First Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 12 and 13. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But obviously it's through the Lord's strength. God gives us the strength to bear what he gives us, but it's never too much where we will crush or we will crumble under it. But obviously, whatever God tries to do in our life for good, the devil always wants to try to turn it around and cause us to think that God is not being fair. Again, think about Jeremiah and the life that we see in Scripture, a man of God preaching God's word, trying to turn God's people back to the Lord, seemingly with no success. You read through Jeremiah, Lamentations, seemingly no success whatsoever, but he was faithful to preach God's message. He was faithful to just keep going, even when at a certain point he said, you know what, I'm going to shut my mouth, not say another word because it doesn't seem to be doing any good. And he records in Jeremiah that as he's it's basically covering his mouth because, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. All of a sudden it started burning on the inside, spiritually burning to where He couldn't help but to speak. You know, God blesses faithfulness. And we're thankful that God is faithful to us. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new. They fail not. Again, as he says, God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And again, he gives us that strength. He gives us the ability to be able to endure. When you go back to Lamentations 3, you think about everything that Jeremiah is writing up to verse 21. It just seems like his soul is just overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with everything. And yet when he gets to 21, this I recall to my mind. And I believe that God brought it to his mind. God helped Jeremiah to remember. Because again, the devil always wants us to focus on the negative. He always wants us to focus on, you know, what's going wrong, what's not going right, and seemingly, you know, God's not helping and God's allowing too much in your life that you can't not handle. God must not love you. But then he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And again, our hope is in the Lord. And really, a lot of God's people have to remember, have to recall to their mind the goodness of God, that we've been called into a fellowship, into a relationship with a living God who sees us, knows us, loves us, cares for us, wants our burdens, wants us to have his strength, wants us to walk in his strength. And again, look at verse 23. As he goes on to say, he says, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. You just think about the faithfulness of God and the fact that his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. We're, again, thankful that God's mercies are new because you and I experience the mercy of God every day of our life, not just at Calvary, not just the day you called upon him to be your Savior, but every day we experience the mercy of God, and we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and ask for help in time of need. And many times we need God's mercy. And this is what we recall to our mind, the fact that his mercies are new every morning and his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we are thankful that his faithfulness, that he is faithful all the time. Think about this. His mercy and compassion are ever new, always fresh and vigorous, constant, perpetual, never ceasing. Never ceasing. But you know what the devil wants us to think? The devil wants us to think on our bad day or when things are just not going right or it just seems like the world just isn't getting better, prayers aren't getting answered seemingly. He wants us to think that God has failed us. He wants us to think that God has failed his faithfulness. But that's who God is. He's faithful. So when you think about, and it's a good verse just to meditate on for the whole week, is the fact that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Not only us, but all of God's people, those that go to Facebook and social media to get counsel, need to understand as a child of God, our counsel comes from the Lord. And when you remember, his compassions fail not. Man's compassion will fail. Because people get fed up with people. The world doesn't really care. The God's people should care and God's people should love and have compassion. But I'm thankful that God's compassion never fails, because when man's compassion fails against me, I know that God's compassion is not going to fail, that he will still be merciful and compassionate towards me. Again, I want you to look at, let's see here. Look at verse 23 again. Again, as he says, they are new every morning. Just reminding us that we have a promise from God as his children that his mercy and compassion are available for us every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Again, as it gets closer, and we are getting closer to the end, we're getting closer to the return of Christ. I mean, you can almost hear them getting ready to sound that trumpet. I mean, just how things are turning in this world and how things are just seemingly ushering in different events and stuff. I mean, as a Bible believer, as people who read their Bible and believe that Christ is coming, man, something on the inside ought to tell all of God's people, he is at the door. It is going to be soon. How soon? I can't tell you that. 10 years, 15 years. It's a lot closer than when we started. It's a lot closer than when Christ ascended up on high, when he ascended out of sight from his disciples on that glorious day. But again, we understand that his compassions fail not. We know that one day he's going to return and that he's going to be faithful because he is a faithful God. But look at the second part of verse 23. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It says, great is thy faithfulness. It doesn't just say you're faithful, but the fact that the expression is great, great is thy faithfulness. I want you to look at Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Just being honest, I mean, if we sit around watching the news too much and listening to social media and listening to all the Antichrist and Jesus haters, what's going to cause us to lose hope? You know, there's a lot of Christians on social media that post things that really speak volumes of them not trusting Christ, not having any hope whatsoever in the Lord, and thinking that life isn't worth living. And yet life is worth living if you're a child of God born again, because he's given us an abundance of life. He's given us a gift of salvation. He's given us eternity with him to look forward to. But again, too many young people and older people have their eyes fixed on this world instead of fixed in heaven, fixed upon the author and finisher of their faith. In Psalm 36:5, the Bible says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I mean, great is thy faithfulness. Again, there's no limit to his faithfulness. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul writing here says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I mean, his faithfulness is so great, he is able to establish us, obviously establish us in our faith, establish us in the promises of his word, establish us in conviction of his word, and keep you from evil. Now, if someone is just knowingly just wants to go do evil, they go do evil. But someone who's like, Lord, please keep me from sinning against you. Please keep me from presumptuous sins. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to you. Guess what? He's going to keep you from that. He's going to keep you and help you to be faithful and help you to be true to him if we will trust him and remember that his faithfulness is great. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. I love this verse. It says, if we believe not, yet he, speaking of God, abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. One of the things that God cannot deny his faithfulness, he cannot deny who he is. He's holy, he's faithful, he's merciful, he's compassionate. I mean, God's faithfulness, there's no limit to God's faithfulness. And again, I know I'm kind of speaking to the choir tonight. You know these things. Maybe the younger ones don't know it so much, but the older people in here, the Christians, the born-again believers in here, you understand it. But again, I'll say there are many that need to be prayed for because they struggle. They're not believing the truth of God's word, not believing his faithfulness. They're not relying upon him. And I want us to remember, to recall these things for our mind, not just the fact that he's merciful and faithful, but the fact that he is compassionate, he is loving, he's long-suffering. I mean, he is our Redeemer. He is the one that carries us. He's our burden bearer. Again, life is not going to get easier. And many people have walked away from the Lord because they thought there'd be no problems if they accepted Christ as their Savior. But there are problems. The problems we have are the same problems that we would have if we weren't walking with Christ. But we're walking with Christ, and the problems, the things that we face in life, we have someone who helps us to overcome those problems, helps us to go through the storms, helps us to get to the other side, helps us to be reminded, to recall to our mind the greatness of God and the faithfulness and the fact that he's merciful and that he is compassionate. And because of God's faithfulness, I want to go back and look. Jeremiah says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And we need to have hope when we recall to our mind these things. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And because of God's faithfulness, we can say, as Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion. Meaning, he's part of my life. I want you to think about the fact when Jesus said, abide in me and I abide in you. The fact that, I want to say we're not one with Christ, but we have Christ in us. The fact is that he is always with us. The fact is Jeremiah had to remind himself, even sitting in a dungeon, the Lord's with me. I mean, sometimes you might not be sitting in a dungeon, but again, many of God's people, they're losing hope, and some have lost hope, and they're not listening to the voice of God that's trying to help them to recall in their mind his goodness and the fact his faithfulness, and he has not forsaken them. He says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. We can hope in him because he is our God. Just as David said that he is my God, he is my buckler, he is my salvation, he's my high tower. I mean, he is my God. The Lord is my portion. Look at verse 25. And because our hope is in the Lord, verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I mean, you just think about these verses. You really don't need any other verses to explain these verses. When you think about the fact that the Lord is my portion, in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Who's going to wait for him? The lost aren't going to wait for him. The unbelievers aren't going to wait for God. But God's people should wait for him when they need his help, when they need his faithfulness. And we, again, for the past couple of weeks, we've talked about our need and his supply. Did that on a Wednesday, and we did it for the past two Sundays, just talking about, you know, our need. What's our need? Our strength. We need strength. He gives us his strength, all right? His faithfulness. Whatever it is we need, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Now, obviously, you think about Jeremiah. You think about us as well. Again, there's days where the day, if we allow it to, can just weigh heavy upon us. And we've got to cast it upon the Lord and remember that God is my hope. People that do us wrong, turmoil that comes up, family issues that come up, all kinds of things. It's just a part of life that wants to get our focus off of God and wants to rob us of the joy of the Lord and wants to steal our faith in Christ away from us. And we've got to recall to our mind and remind ourselves, you know what? God's mercies are new every day. I mean, his compassions fail not. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. You know what? Look at Isaiah as I think about this. One of my favorite portions in Scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. I mean, just think about it. I mean, again, the lost aren't going to wait. The unbelievers aren't going to wait for Christ. And unfortunately, a lot of God's people get tired of waiting. But God gives a promise for those that wait, those that are weary, those that are at the end of their rope, those that don't know what to do, yet they know that my hope is in Christ. They know that my Redeemer liveth, as Job says. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, Isaiah says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Unfortunately, that's not always going to be physical. Now, the Lord can give us physical strength. He gave Elijah physical strength when he needed it to go a little further to get to the cave so God could really speak to him and show him the fire, show him the tornado and all those, the earthquake and all that, so he could teach Elijah that the voice of God was a still, small voice that would guide him. There's just times where, you know what, obviously the inner man needs strength and needs renewal. But they that wait upon the Lord, only they that will wait for God to move, only those that will wait for God to answer will see the blessing and promise of God fulfilled in their life at that moment of lifetime when they need it. Again, he says back in Lamentations 3, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." I mean, I can't help but to imagine a little kid that comes up to a parent, and the parent and the child asks the parent, I'll say for some ice cream, because the parent's holding ice cream. I came home yesterday from Sam's and had these Barks root beer ice cream. I don't know what it was. It was like an ice cream float that I got. Man, it was good too. And they're all gone. But as you say, it's just like holding that, and a child comes up and says, "Daddy, can I have one of them?" Absolutely. I go to hand it to them, and they run off without taking it. And they never come back. It's like, "Well, I thought you wanted this." You think about sometimes we go to the Lord and we ask for something, but then we run off because it's been 3 seconds. Or we're done praying and we get up without any hope, without any faith that God's going to answer. Again, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I would say the vast majority of us in here, excluding the kids, some of the kids don't understand spiritually waiting. They understand waiting for, you know, dinner and stuff. But you think about waiting on God, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes God knows what's best. He knows exactly the right timing. If we put ourselves in Jeremiah's shoes, we just kind of try to think about where Jeremiah's at, what he's trying to do for the Lord that God's asked him to do, and what he's being hit with, just the confrontation, the persecution, the resentment from people, the rejection from God's people. And Jeremiah's got a recall to his mind. "Praise the Lord, God is faithful to me. Thank the Lord, he's merciful to me, that I can trust him and rely on him, and the fact that he's good to them who wait for him." You'll see the goodness of God when you wait for him. Again, God's timing is right, and our hope should never be in timing, but in God. God who is the God of time. I mean, he's out of time. He's out of time. I mean, he's not bound by the time that we are. And sometimes we have to wait. But while we're waiting, we need to continue to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. and the fact that he's merciful and compassionate and he's faithful. I want you to look with me again at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Again, not just the one that's waiting, but also the soul that's seeking him at the same time. Seeking him while they're waiting. Every day, just seeking the Lord while they're waiting. Being close to the Lord, walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord. Never losing hope that God is on your side, that God will be merciful to you. He does remember your frame. He knows exactly how much you can handle. And he gives us the strength and the ability to be able to handle what he throws our way. But he always comes through for his people. Look there at verse 26. Again, reminding us, bringing to our mind these things and the fact that we remind ourselves of these things. Therefore, will I, as Jeremiah says, I will hope in the Lord. It says in verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So in verse 25, he says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And 26, he says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Lord. Should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Meaning we should never get to a point where we start complaining to God that he's taking too long. We should never get to a point where we tell the Lord he doesn't know what he's doing. But quietly wait for the Lord. And patiently and quietly wait for the Lord. Because our hope is in the one who's always on time. The one who cannot deny himself and who he is. He's faithful. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's loving towards his people. And we are the people of God. We're the children of God. So again, as Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. I can actually have hope in this world, even though this world as a whole is against the things I believe in, against the one that I fully have my faith and trust in, Jesus Christ. I can still have hope because my God is in control. My God is merciful. He's faithful. As he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Again, reminds us, always hope in the Lord. Always hope in the Lord. Never lose hope in the Lord. And encourage others to hope in the Lord. There are so many, not just in our church, but there are so many Christians who have lost their hope. And they need a loving brother or sister in Christ to come alongside them and try to encourage them back into hope, putting their hope in Christ, and not allow the people of this world to cause them to be fearful, to cause them to lose hope in God, and to think that the only hope they have is in what the government says and what the world says and what society says and what social media says. For the Christian, our hope is in the Lord. And young people and teenagers need to be encouraged in that direction, that their hope should be in the one that will never fail them, the one who will always be compassionate towards them, always merciful towards them, because he loves them more than anybody else, and he has showed and manifested that love, and that love was manifested on Calvary when he laid down his life and shed his innocent blood for their sin and our sin as well. Again, he says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, or the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord delivering them. Obviously, if you're already saved, you're not waiting for salvation, but there's times where you're waiting for God to deliver you from whatever it is that you're in the middle of, whatever storm you're in the middle of, whatever trial you're in the middle of, whatever difficulty you're in the middle of, whatever battle you're in, because we are in a spiritual battle. And that's a reminder as well to put on the full armor of God every day. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and just reread that over and over, the full armor of God, because the devil's always looking for that little bitty piece that's missing. He just wants the helmet gone, the belt of truth gone. I mean, just, you know, put it all on except for one thing, you know. Keep the sword of the Lord down, you know. Don't put your shield of faith up, you know. He's going to throw his fiery darts every day because he wants our hope to be lost in the Lord and in the promises of his word. You and I understand tonight this is the best book that can help the child of God. Not just to get to know God, but to help us to know even how to defend ourselves against our enemy. How to help our hearts and minds not to be, I don't know, brainwashed by the ways of the world, but to help us to walk in truth. To help our hearts to be full of the Word of God. For our eyes to stay fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith. I think we're living in a day where God's people need to encourage God's people more and more and more. Not hounding them about the way that they live. Let God work in their hearts about how they're living, but encourage them the fact that, you know what, God still loves you. God still wants to work in your life, and God wants to help you. We've got to remind ourselves of that too, because the battle's just going to get worse and worse and more intensified as we get closer to the end. And we got to remind ourselves that. Every child of God that reads your Bible has got to remind ourselves. The book of Revelation talks about that. And at some point, we'll go through Revelations. I'm working on a study for that, because I think we need to recall to our mind what's going to happen, where we're at in the timeline of God's history. You know, where we're at, you know, as far as getting close to the end and being prepared. And again, reminding ourselves that God is merciful to us. God has saved us from the wrath to come. But he wants us to follow him faithfully as he faithfully leads us. He wants us to be reminded daily that even though our enemy may attack, yet God has a hedge of protection around us. God is on our side. And God will use some of the things the devil wants to do to build our faith and to strengthen us and to purge sin in our life if sin needs to be purged. But we got to continue to remind ourselves that, you know what, my hope is in the Lord. As I believe it was Job, though he slay me, yet I will continue to have faith and hope in the Lord. Whatever God decides to do with me, I'll never, with the Lord's help, never lose faith in the Lord, never lose hope in the Lord, because he bought me with that precious blood. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you.